Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
It's the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I'm at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
Well, all right, Dan. Well, they handed out our first set of awards yesterday. It was the Jackie Robinson Rookie of the Year. And I got to tell you, I was kind of surprised by the way the voting actually ended up playing out. And, you know, we'll start in the American League here. Kyle Lewis of the Mariners won the award. And, you know, I'm not surprised by that. He had a really good year. What I am surprised by is the fact that he got all 30 first-place votes.
Wow.
Which I was really shocked by because I thought Luis Roberts would get some first-place votes. What I also find interesting, and I believe it's time we need to take someone's vote away here, Dan, Luis Roberts got 27 second-place votes and 2 third-place votes, which means some jackass actually left him off their ballot. And that jackass was Tim Cowlishaw of the Dallas Morning News. And if you watch the Mickey Mouse Network, he appears on a lot of their talking head shows, the, you know, Pardon the Interruption and Around the Horn and those kind of shows. He's more of a hockey guy, but somehow he has a baseball vote, and obviously he didn't know what to do with it. Because he had Jared Walsh and Christian Javier ahead of Luis Robert on his ballot. So clearly he's an idiot and doesn't need to be voting for anything baseball related. So, but yeah, what I'm also, you know, kind of learning here, Dan, when it comes to these type of awards is winning doesn't mean jack shit anymore, does it? Pardon my language. Jack crap anymore. You know, because obviously, you know, Lewis had a solid year. You know, he hit .262. He had 11 home runs. You know, he drove in, you know, 28 RBIs. You know, I know he made some really nice defensive plays for the Mariners. You know, Robert just won a Gold Glove for the White Sox, and I don't think he hit as good. Let me double check his numbers here. For some reason, I thought he was in the 250s, but let me find him here. Come on. Oh no, actually, he was lower than that. He hit .233. He had 11 home runs and 31 RBIs. He actually led all the American League rookies in RBIs. And like I mentioned, he won a Gold Glove, but of course, the Mariners stunk, while Robert actually had to do this while the White Sox were in a playoff race. So yeah, that kind of shows you what winning means to anybody who casts a ballot, right?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so I'm not nuts here, right? Though I mean, Robert should have at least appeared on all 3 ballots. I mean, can you think of 2 more rookies you would have put ahead of him?
No, I mean, it's hard. And, you know, the other thing with the Rookie of the Year race, is that, you know, like you said, so-and-so shouldn't have a vote. I don't know, of all the years to not get this right, this is the one where it you should have gotten it right. It makes the most sense because, I mean, it's 60 games. So it's not like we had Reese Roberts start on, you know, one part of the season, you know, where we're trying to match up different guys coming in at different times of the season. They all were pretty much started at the same time. So it's not like, you know, there's a huge discrepancy or timetable difference between all the rookies. So how did you miss?
Yeah, well, yeah, it wasn't like last year where Yordan Alvarez played a whopping 87 games and was unanimous American League Rookie of the Year. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, that's, you know, I look, you know, and again, like I said, I don't have any problem with Lewis winning the award. I just didn't see him being unanimous, and I didn't see Robert being left off a ballot. So that was just kind of, you know, my big shock there. You know, as far as the National League goes, this was a little more surprising for me. Devin Williams of the Brewers ended up winning the award, and he ended up winning it, you know, relatively easily. He got 95 points in the voting, and Alec Baum and Jake Cronenworth each ended up with 74. Believe it or not, Tony Gonsolin actually got a first-place vote. I was kind of surprised by that, but, you know, looking at some of it, I really thought it was Cronenworth's award, but you know, Williams does have all the numbers going for him. He pitched a whopping 27 innings. He went 4-1, but his ERA was 0.33. And you know, sabermetrically, he's got all the numbers everybody likes. You know, he's a big strikeout guy, so. You know, those numbers are way up there, and he doesn't walk a lot of guys. So I'm not as shocked that he ended up winning this award. I think I just kind of figured with the way the MLB Network was kind of pushing Cronenworth and everything that he would be the guy to walk away with it here. But, yeah, he actually got left off four ballots. He only appears on 26 of the 30. Alec Baum here got, what is that, 17 and 5 is 22 still. He got left off 8 of the ballot, and Williams himself actually got left off 3 of the ballot. So a much more, I guess, challenging setup in the National League, the American League. But I thought you had Cronenworth winning it too. Are you surprised that he didn't end up picking this thing up?
Yeah, I mean, aside from the, and that was just my personal because of experience with him on my fantasy teams. But you know, like you said too, with the promoting he was getting, I was kind of surprised he didn't get it.
Yeah, that you know that was you know, and again, like I said, I'm not, you know, Williams is a. You know, he's a sabermetric darling, so all these guys are going to, you know, they're going to basically jerk off over his stats, and, you know, they're not going to care about much else. What I will be interested now is to see, because the one thing he didn't have to deal with that Cronenworth had to deal with is not a lot of people saw him. So while he has great stuff, the league hasn't adjusted to him yet. You know, and they also, for some reason, kept pushing him as a closer. I heard multiple people call him the Brewers closer. Dan, this is the first closer I've seen who got zero saves. So my guess is they didn't know what they were talking about. He was not the Brewers closer. He was the Brewers setup man. So let's at least get our facts straight here. But yeah, again, you know, great season, you know, not going to deny that, but I honestly, you know, I'm sure if I had a ballot, he would have probably ended up on it, probably third, you know, and I know I was actually, when you don't know how to get in your car without setting off the alarm, that's what happens in my neighborhood all the time. you know, I would have probably had Brom first. I really thought he had a good, you know, the better year out of everybody. But, you know, again, Cronenworth had to compete on a winner. You know, the Padres went to the playoffs, the Brewers barely got in, and the Phillies weren't close. So we'll see. But, yeah, that's –
Well, and that's still something. You know, and this is why I'm not – it's cool. It's something to talk about. But I'm not a huge fan of these awards because there's no definition. You know what I mean? There's no set qualifications. You know, is it the rookie of the year? You know, is it what's the basis? And I think that's what drives me nuts about these.
Isn't the basis whoever's the best metric guy or analytic guy gets the award, no matter what happens?
Well, yeah, but I mean that's still. It's not detailed. It's not, I don't know, maybe I'm just one of those weird people that doesn't mind rules and guidelines and such. But, you know, I mean, at this rate, why not, you let the fans vote the All-Star game. The All-Star game means nothing. You know, the voters, the baseball writers, don't always vote on stats. They'll end up voting on who's more likable. So why not combine the votes? Why not just make it a total shit show and let all the fans have a voice in voting in that too? And maybe only limit it to one vote.
I think because they would, you know, they wouldn't vote properly.
Yeah, I know, but what is the difference between you know, some guy who writes for hockey going in and voting and basing it on guys he likes or are very popular in the media compared to a diehard White Sox fan who's only going to vote for White Sox players. You know what I mean? Like, well,
the idea that we're supposed to believe that these guys watch the games and pay attention and they're supposed to know. I mean, I think a lot of the, you want to call them average fans or how you ever want to describe them. I guess people more that like aren't you and I that are like deeply immersed into baseball. Don't you think they kind of believe that?
What that is?
That these guys are well informed. They're the kind of people who should be voting on the award.
Oh, well, you're right. I mean, that should be the belief, you know, but that's not what's reality. And I mean, 10 years ago compared to now, I mean, it's plain as day, is it not?
Sorry, I'm getting the warning that my area is about to get destroyed by a thunderstorm, so... It might be a little loud, the TV going off and, you know, all the warning. And the sad part is we normally get two in a row, so it'll go off and then we'll get another one. So, tonight we'll get Manager of the Year. I think when we talked about the award originally, I would really like to see Renteria win just for the fact that the White Sox decided to get rid of him and bring in a guy who apparently likes to drive drunk. But we'll get to that story in a minute. Who wins?
I don't know. I'll give you a bad 6 degrees of separation. He worked with Arizona, Mark Grace. I guess it's only 2 degrees.
Yeah.
Boom, bad joke. But what were we going with? You know, I guess my point is, Big Jack, I just
– bad.
You know, I just, over the years, the value in voting, the value in these awards just completely does not totally exist for me. I think it's fun to discuss, but at the same token, you know, the fact that there's no actual guidelines, some kind of definition, it's just, you know, you could literally take 500 people across the country and then just pick anybody and let them vote. And, you know, would it be different? You know, because that's the problem. You get these guys, these talking heads that have a vote, and maybe it's not even totally conscious, but when they're pumped in their earpiece every day to sit there and talk about Mike Trout, who's the first guy you're going to think about when it comes to MVP vote? You know what I mean? And
yeah.
Granted, you know, this year it's not Trout. It's, you know, Tatis Jr. and Manny or whoever else it is. And I think that's what's wrong because, like you said, these guys are supposed to be the experts. We know that isn't 100% accurate. And, you know, is it more of a you know, with the way the awards are set up, is it just about money now? Because the reason you and I don't have a vote is because to be a part of the BBWA, you have to pay to be in that. And I don't remember the amount of money it costs, but, you know, Ken Rosenthal or, you know, these guys aren't paying that fee. It's whoever they work for. You know, I don't know what the Athletic now, if they're paying those fees, you know, or, you know, the Mickey Mouse, NBC, which Big Jack, I don't know if you noticed, NBC Sports Channel is off air now, but you had AT&T.
Oh,
so I don't know if that works for you. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. So luckily, there's no basketball, hockey. I don't know if it's because of that Peacock network or what they're trying to do. But I forgot where I was going with it. Yeah, I just totally lost my train of thought.
You were talking about how you have to pay to be in the BBWAA.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, you have to pay to be in there, and, you know, the voting is attached to the BBWA. You know, turn it around, is it just about the money now? Because, I mean, when you think about it, the only incentive, and maybe I'm wrong, we'd have to really dig into some of these contracts, but the incentive based in some of the salaries is more so all-star. You might get a bump if you get the MVP vote. But when you think about it, they only really count the all-star vote, and that's a popularity vote. And that might, you know, give you an extra $50,000 at the end of the season. So, I mean, what is the significance of these awards aside from, you know, that these BBWA guys have their name attached to it? And it's like an elite status. You know, and I guess that's where it is for me. Like, at the end of the day, these awards go good for, you know, helping a guy get into the Hall of Fame, but at the same time, it's his numbers. But even that doesn't guarantee you, because your numbers could be the top of the heap, but because you played, you know, 13 seasons with the Royals and you wrapped up the last 3 years of your career at the Yankees, but that was, you know, on the off year, the last 3 years when they lost. You know, they didn't win the World Series.
Yeah.
So you don't have those, you don't have that longevity. And you know, obviously Kansas City was the wrong example because they won a World Series not too long ago. But, you know, you kind of get where I'm going with that.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think it's fun, but at the same time, the way they act, the way, once you peel back the onion, so to speak, you realize that these votes, these awards really don't mean much.
Yeah, unfortunately, no, they don't. But, you know, it gives us something to talk about in the off season, right?
Yeah. Well, no, and it's fun. But that's why I don't know. I just, the current process, you know, is almost a reflection of what the current process for are voting in America for the president. It's just, you know what I mean? I don't care if you're Trump or a Biden supporter. I mean, if I learned anything about this election, our voting system is totally flawed and just a complete joke. Fortunately, I do think the BBWA, their voting system is not a joke, and the fact that you know exactly who's voting and where the votes are coming from. But I don't know. I just think the system is tired, and they need to revamp it. They need to, you know, come up with some new ideas to really kind of engage people a little bit better. You know, I don't know. To me, it's losing its steam, and it's one of those things that these are a cool part of the game, but it's becoming less and less attractive. And I don't think the common fan, like you were discussing, even gives a crap anymore about these awards.
No, unless you got, as they say, a horse in the race.
Yeah.
You know, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't have a player or, you know, maybe a player you're interested in, because, like, I know there were some A's fans who were wondering how, you know, Sean Murphy and Jesus Luzardo would do in the Rookie of the Year voting. You know, while they each got votes, obviously they weren't contenders to win. We knew that. But, you know, like, that's my only real interest now is I want the MVP vote to come out because I want to see where Trout finishes. You know, we know he's not top three, but did he end up four? How many, you know, did he get some first place votes? That's the only thing I want to know because he's been the, you know, the darling for so long, no matter what happens. You know, he was the only guy exempt from the you need to help your team win rule. So that's, you know, I'm interested to see how that one kind of shakes out.
Well, isn't that what the hell is confused, like started your confusion with this? So, you know, 10, 15 years ago, oh, we can't vote. You know, a guy can't be placed into the MVP, you know, Cy Young, et cetera, voting if their team isn't in a playoff run. And then 2012, 13 happens, which I forget which year it is. Mike Trout shows up, and all of a sudden, that doesn't matter anymore. Well, you know, and
yeah,
you
know,
except it hasn't
you,
been
you had to have,
you guys have it.
Yeah, you had to have astronomical numbers to win it. You know, remember, you know, I know years ago before you and I really were hardcore baseball guys, Ernie Banks won an MVP on the last place Cubs. So did Andre Dawson, and Alex Rodriguez won one with the Rangers. They had astronomical years. You know, if you go back and look at the stats, you can understand why they won the awards that year compared to anybody else. And, you know, in some years, Trout fit into that mold. But in other years, you know, they just kept pushing him out there, even though he wasn't the best player. You know, he was having a good year, but he wasn't the most valuable player because these other guys were coming through for their teams in big situations and helping them win. And that's one of the things that analytics and sabermetrics and all that stuff that meshed into that, it really makes winning no longer matter when it comes to awards or even looking at the, you know, the game. Winning only matters when it's postseason time.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's just one of the things. But the other thing I mentioned in passing, Dan, and the more I looked into this was really weird. You know, I mentioned Tony La Russa was cited for a DUI in Phoenix. It's the second one he's had, you know, in his lifetime. He's 76 years old, so depending on how you look at it, maybe two isn't too bad. I actually had a friend who had 13, but I'm not going to get into that story because it would take up multiple podcasts. What I found so weird about this, Dan, is they just charged him with the crime, and this happened on February 24th. So did they wait just to try to grab some headlines because they charged him the day before he was named the White Sox manager? So were they just looking to get a little pub and, you know, try to get a story out there like they did? Because obviously there's multiple reports out there and you and I are talking about it. I know their excuse was that they say that it got processed in the wrong jurisdiction, which is just BS. They wanted to do this. And I heard somebody else actually mention that they wanted to get him in and processed before he moves so they can get his fine money. You know, obviously he's not going to do any jail time, but he's also not going to be living in Arizona anymore. You know, he'll move to wherever with the White Sox. So do you buy this as more of a conspiracy than anything else?
Not fully. I mean, if it happened in February, you know, it should have taken some time because obviously COVID and, you know, the courts being shut down and whatnot. But, I mean, to try to wrap this up right before he gets to, I don't understand what took so long, you know. Like, you're going to get his fine money. The man is works for Major League Baseball. I don't think he'd be that hard to find. So I still think they'll get paid. I don't. And let's be honest, like you said, he's a 70-plus-year-old man. He probably had half a sip of drink and with, you know, all his medication and just, you know.
Yeah.
So. It's bad, I know.
You know, and I mean, we don't, you know, and again, you know, we don't know. The reason for the stop was apparently he hit a curb and got a flat tire. So that's, you know, that was the process behind it. And then the officer noticed something and, you know, they processed him with, you know, the DUI, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just the timing of it to me and, you know, all the other kind of oddities that go into it make it really fishy. And while obviously he deserves to be, you know, arrested for DUI, he was over the legal limit, so, you know, they're following the law. I don't have a problem with that. I just don't understand why it wasn't processed in February and taken care of. So...
government. Interesting.
Yeah. You know, and then the other kind of oddity that just kind of drops in with this is, now I don't know if it was because of the DUI, but Marcus Stroman, who is going to be one of the more sought after pitching free agents, even though let's be fair, he's never actually lived up to the potential that people had. He came out today and said that no amount of money would get him to sign for a team managed by Tony La Russa. So, you know, now the White Sox have said, you know, they knew all about this. You know, they still hired La Russa anyways. But yeah, are you surprised that, you know, Stroman kind of came out like this?
Is he a white? Was he signed by the White Sox? I didn't even.
No, they took no action because obviously it happened before, you know, he was even on the radar as a manager. So, you know, my guess is they probably found out just before he got charged. You know, I'm sure either his attorney or La Russa himself contacted them and, you know, let them knew what was going on and explained that it was from February. So, but, yeah, I was just kind of shocked to hear Stroman come out and just, you know, no amount of money.
Well, I don't understand where Stroman fits into this, I guess.
Yeah, looking for it here to see if they have more of a...
Stroman on the White Sox? That's what I'm asking.
No,
I didn't realize he was
a he's a free agent. So, you know, obviously the White Sox who were looking for another starter would have probably been interested.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just don't, I don't see any, you know, any amount of money. And then now you got to remember, I believe Stroman got in trouble with the PETA people for, I think he had a Doberman and he did the ear thing they do with the Dobermans. So he got himself in trouble with them. But yeah, there's no real, like, this article I'm looking at doesn't really give a reason why he wouldn't go there. You know, Keith Law, who's with The Athletic and does all the prospect stuff, he criticized the White Sox on Twitter. But it doesn't mention why or how or anything, you know, about why he wouldn't go there. It just says no amount of money, honestly. Peace of mind is always a priority. So,
well, thank you for your feedback, but if no one knows what the hell you're talking about, then what are you trying to stir up?
And to be fair, this may just be the way the article is. He may have given a reason and they just didn't publish it. You know, because they go on to say the things that you and I immediately said when here's maybe part of it. Back in 2016, La Russa took a stance against, so maybe that has something to do with it. But they also go on to mention, again, like I said, like you and I did, if he will have the ability to connect with the younger generation of players. So.
Yeah, and I mean, I get that, but that's just the biggest horseshit excuse. You know, it's an easy excuse when things don't work out and you have Bryce Harper, who's supposed to be, you know, the number one, the opposing number one person to Mike Trout, yet despite him being on their team, they could not do anything to win. So it must have been Dusty's fault because he's an old guy, can't relate to the young guys, and then all of a sudden Bryce Harper's gone and they win a World Series. You know what I mean? So, like, I get it, but I've seen the biggest complaints about La Russa and the White Sox hiring him. It's, you know, it's just it's a total White Sox, it's a Jerry Reinsdorf move. You know, in today's analytical game, what does Tony La Russa know about it? You know, they're essentially trying to discredit a man who was basically a legend when it comes to managing baseball teams. I mean, I'm sorry, but I don't think the Cardinals would have been where they are without him. You know, Joe Madden would have never used put the pitcher in eighth and the batter, you know, and the number eight batter, I think, if it weren't for Tony La Russa. So, I mean, the complaint, I think it's just a bunch of horse crap. And then Marcus Stroman. So, you know, and that's one of the things that I think is just a huge issue with this country to begin with. If one person doesn't agree, you know, that's it. You know, that's the beauty of living in a world. Not everyone's going to agree to the same thing. I mean, did Marcus Stroman stop watching the NFL?
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, to be fair, the White Sox are also taking some heat for not punishing La Russa. People have to remember, this happened in February. All right, you know, Rick Renteria was still the White Sox manager. They hadn't even played a game yet or been to spring training. So, you know, in reality, this has nothing to do with the White Sox. Could Major League Baseball punish him because he was working for them? So, you know, there could possibly be something there, but to make the White Sox, you know, something that happened, what, 7 months ago, 8 months ago, you know, to try to get the White Sox to do it is just, it's really kind of stupid, isn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. But that's prototypical of this era, you know.
So yeah, that's baffling, you know, when I look at it. And I mean, I'm not trying to diminish the fact that he got a DUI. You know, he deserves to be punished by the state of Arizona. you know, in reality, being his second one, they should probably take his driver's license away, which might not be a bad idea for a 76-year-old man anyways, because, you know, obviously he's had issues with this before. But, you know, I just don't get the idea of, you know, no amount of money is going to, okay, well, that's great. Explain yourself. You know, you just, you know, like the other thing here, apparently Strowman replied, and they say Marcus Strowman replied to the call decision, baffling on all measures. Okay, well, what measures? The hiring, the DUI, you know, I mean, you know, I get Twitter is limited on characters, but what the hell are you talking about? Just say you don't want to play for the White Sox, and that would have made things a whole lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yeah. So, yeah, just a weird situation to begin with. Just keeps getting weirder with all the, you know, the people jumping in. You know what I mean? I don't know Keith Law. He's got a tough enough time ranking prospects. So, you know, he probably doesn't need to be challenging Tony La Russa, but okay.
Well, let me ask you this. How come no one questioned that when Dusty went down to Houston? What's the difference?
Yeah, so, you know, well, you know, maybe, I mean, you know how it is. Maybe this guy doesn't like La Russa. You know, it could just been something like that.
Well, I mean, regardless of Strowman, I mean, all the stuff that comes out on La Russa, oh, he's too old, how's he going to connect? Yeah, well, what about, like I said, Dusty down in Houston?
Yeah.
You know, how is that any different? You know what I mean?
You know,
how is it any better for the Red Sox to rehire a cheating manager?
Right. You know, yeah, that's the one that I love. Just got to pass. And to be fair, you know, Dan and I don't follow everybody on Twitter, so maybe something was said about Dusty or something like that that him and I didn't see. But, yeah, it's odd that this is the hire. Maybe because the White Sox are so much younger than the Astros, they're making more of a big deal about La Russa than they did Dusty. But, I think in reality you could kind of almost question every hire that's made if you wanted to look into it. But for whatever reason, you know, especially now with the DUI, they're going to take the hard line on La Russa and, just crush him. And to be fair, we don't know what his blood alcohol was. It was just over 0.08. It could have been 0.09. It could have been, 0.10, or it could have been higher. We don't know. So, you know, it's just one of those things. But we'll see how it plays out, or what kind of happens. But I am wondering if you can help me out here with this baseball thing, and maybe I'm missing the point. Are you as excited about the Mets and the Sandy Alderson coming in and cleaning house and all the other stuff they got going on as everybody else seems to be, or am I kind of missing the boat here with this team?
No, I mean, it's definitely exciting. If you're a Mets fan, you're in New York to kind of see them making these wholesale changes. It obviously, whatever they were doing wasn't working, but, you know, they were hindered by the Bernie Madoff Ponzi scheme. That was number one. So they had to, kind of get their financials back from that. And, fortunately, they're still allowed to conduct business and they weren't, put into that Ponzi scheme. But, I mean, we've seen it before. You know, you come in, you clean house, and You know, look at the Cleveland Browns. They wanted to come in and bring in an analytical guy who works with, you know, Mr. Moneyball and their group. And what have the Cleveland Browns done since? Nothing.
Well, they fired that guy too, so.
Well, yeah. And now he's in an offshore business. You know what I mean? I think it's great. It's exciting, but it doesn't guarantee that they're going to win anything.
So, yeah, I guess what I'm kind of curious on is, you know, I'm not quite sure what he's going to be able to change on the field. You know, I mean, if you look at their team, unless he's going to break this up and he's going to move some of the guys, with the exception of, you know, the pitching staff, I mean, you're going to have Jacob DeGrom and Noah Syndergaard, you know, and then some of your bullpen pieces will be back. You know, that everyday lineup is kind of set, barring injury. I mean, you know, you're looking at guys like, you know, Pete Alonso and Robinson Cano, you know, Michael Conforto. You know, you got to find a spot for, you know, guys like Jeff McNeil, and Dominic Smith was great last year. So, you know, there's not a lot of flexibility where a guy's just going to be able to come in and go, all right, let's wave my wand over this and we're going to turn it into a contender. You know, and, you know, if they don't bring Stroman back, they're going to have to figure out the rotation once you get past DeGrom and Syndergaard, and that's if Syndergaard is healthy. So, maybe it's probably a step in the right direction, because whatever Brody Van Wagenen was doing wasn't working. But I guess we'll see, right? I mean, this owner's a big money guy, and apparently they're going to pursue the top free agents. But do you see the Trevor Bowers, JT Realmuto type of guys signing with the Mets?
I think it's definitely a possibility. I mean, you see a new structure. You know, it's not like they hired Tony La Russa to be their manager.
Yeah, and apparently their manager is going to stay, from all reports I've seen. There was some talk that they may make the move there as well, but apparently he's going to be sticking around. You know, I'm just not sure, you know, they'll be able to attract the kind of players that they'll need if these guys are going to, you know, if you're going to go to New York, don't you go to the Yankees?
Yeah, but I mean, Jonas went to the Mets, even though he was kind of on the downside of his career. I mean, when you kind of look locally and compare Chicago to New York, I personally think the Mets would have an easier time to sign guys than it would happen like it would in Chicago.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, it would be interesting to see, you know, the team kind of become competitive, because you'd think they should have been better than what they've been for the past, you know, who knows how many years. But I under the impression that they're, you know, if they're going to give up on the young guy Rosario at shortstop, they'll probably have to find a guy there. Maybe your guy Didi goes there.
That would be a good place for him.
But, yeah, you know, then, you know, pitching-wise, you know, like I said, it's DeGrom and Syndergaard, and then I do they just keep banking on Steven Matz to develop? I mean, he's pushing 30 now. I don't know how much longer you wait on him. You know, Seth Lugo was decent for them, but it's so hard to judge anything from last year. You know, they'll get their bullpen pieces back. You know, Diaz comes back, Familia comes back. So, you know, they should have a pretty solid back end of the bullpen. But, yeah, they definitely got to find some pitching help at least. And, you know, I'll be interested to see if, you know, Stroman comes back or if Bauer actually takes them seriously or, you know, would they be willing to add, you know, another reliever? So I guess we'll have to kind of wait and see what they do. But, I don't know if I was excited as everybody else was about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm going to be jumping up and down. And if I were a Mets fan, you know, but I do think when you're making moves like this, it does make it exciting. It makes it seem like it's time for a change, you know, and that they're trying to make those changes in the positive. It doesn't always work out, you know, the way you want it to, but there's always a start. And I still think that, you know, the Mets have a better chance of putting something together and getting free agents to sign there, unlike the Cubs or the Sox might, you know, in their situation. But, you know, you think about, like you said, how long have they ever been good? I mean, this team should have won that World Series in 2015. They were that good. And then,
yeah.
Matt Harvey, you know, and company just completely fell off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
Well, that's horrible, but, you know, I mean, think about it. Matt Harvey was on the Jimmy Fallon show and was being sent out in, you know, unrecognizable in, you know, Central Park, and then all of a sudden he turns into like this monster superstar, and then a few years later you're like, oh, Matt Harvey's still playing.
Can't believe he's pretty much out of the game.
Yeah.
You know, and I know since he's not managing the team, it's probably not as big as a deal, but you know, they're bringing in a 73-year-old man to run the team. So,
how's he going to relate to younger players?
Right.
How's he going to know how to use a computer? Is he going to know how to read analytics? Does he know how to use a tablet?
I understand that they're going to do the deal where, just like the Cubs, where he'll be the president and he'll bring somebody in under him as a general manager, a la, you know, President Theo Epstein, general manager Jed Hoyer. But it's going to be Alderson making all the baseball decisions, just like Epstein makes them here. So, but we'll see. And then we did have one free agent signing, so one pitcher off the market, Dan. Robbie Ray going back to the Blue Jays. Just 1 year, $8 million. So he'll be back out on the free agent market next year. But I keep hearing, and this is always kind of interesting, that because there's always a team they say this about. Apparently this year it's the Blue Jays are the team that are going to go out and spend money and go after these free agents. And I know apparently they've reached out to Andrelton Simmons, which I found kind of odd considering they have Bo Bichette, who looks like a premier shortstop prospect. But, you know, are you buying that it's the Blue Jays' year to be the team? You know, I know a couple years ago it was the Phillies, and I forgot who it was last year, but this year it's the Blue Jays are going to be that team to blow everybody out of the water and go get all these free agents.
I mean, they should definitely be in the running, but, you know, from what we were told, the Rogers family, business, industry, whatever, have nothing but money. But how do you go forward when you haven't generated any revenue and you don't even know where you're going to play next year?
Yeah, that's the oddest thing is, you know, where will they be? Because if this is still going on, they're not playing in Toronto. But I guess it's just one of those things we'll have to we'll have to kind of wait and see how it plays out. But yeah, I don't know if I'm, you know, if I'm buying the fact that they're going to be the, you know, the team that runs out there and spends all this money. You know, again, especially like you said, what are we doing with this? So, but we'll see what they come up with or how it works out, but I don't know. There always seems to be that team, you know. It's like, you know, yeah, let's do this.
Well, as long as they don't win the offseason, they should be fine.
Yeah. So. So, but all right. Well, I was waiting here because I know Dan is a little down, in case you can't tell. So Dan, why don't you tell everybody what happened over the weekend that put you in kind of a foul mood?
Well, let's just start it off with, I've been the worst at fantasy football almost 10 years. And I don't think I made the playoff once. I don't think I have. Yeah, this year I'm running a undefeated team. Until, of course, I match up against you this week, and you not only beat me, you beat me by 40 points. So you kind of kicked my butt in. So now I'm 8-1. I haven't looked at the standings yet. Am I still in first, or did you take that spot?
Let's see. Technically, I moved into it. You're second.
I quit.
I think
200 more points than I do. So, yeah, but I mean, it is what it is. It's still kind of cool to be in the place I am, going up against the guy who's going to be demolished this Sunday, and that's without my starting quarterback changed yet. So I'm up against his dead team. So that'll boost my confidence a little bit. But yeah, I mean, it's still kind of cool. My goal was to make it to 10-0, and then if I lost, it would have been what it was. But you know, I guess I'm still in the running, right? It's just
there's nothing wrong. I mean, you know, obviously you're looking at making the playoffs, and then you never know what's gonna happen from there. Once you get in. You know, it just depends if you catch the right situation. You know, you can kind of long.
Bye weeks, you know. If there wasn't a bye week, I would have been fine. Well, if Adam Thielen and Kyle Rudolph showed up to play on Sunday and it wasn't all Dalvin Cook's game, I could have had a chance. But, you know, maybe we should start a petition that the players should not have bye weeks.
It's been a tough year to juggle things with, COVID and everything, it's just like, whoa, okay, what's going on here? So, again, you're rolling along. It's just one loss, so you'll be fine. You can get back on track next week, and who knows? Maybe it'll work out, and we'll end up facing each other in the playoff.
Yeah, well, and I have to figure out my team. Got injured guys, non-injured, how it goes.
Yeah, I'm always got to deal with, that kind of fun stuff. So, we'll see how that goes, but.
Going back to the awards, Big Jack, did you see who won the NL manager?
No, I haven't looked yet. I was guessing it was Don Mattingly, but
very good guess. Don Mattingly, 2020 MVP, or MVP, National League World Series, or manager of the year.
Yeah, I kind of had that feeling, with as well as the team did, that he was gonna be the guy to get the nod there. So
yeah, but for our purposes, I wish they would have won with the AL first.
Yeah, that would have been nice. So we could have found. Of course, we need something to talk about tomorrow, so we can. We can wait till then to find out who wins. But the tough part that I still have a problem with is, these damn shows are an hour long, so they've got to stretch for time. Like yesterday, since we took the day off, I was watching the Rookie of the Year thing, and it's just like, God, this is just filler. There's no reason to watch this. It's nothing but just filler after filler, and then, oh, and here's the announcement. Okay, just tell me when you're going to announce it. I'll come back and watch. But I guess, that's television, right? So,
you need ratings.
You gotta find a way to hook those people and get them to stick around. So hopefully it worked out for them. And I don't know what kind of ratings the MLB Network does, but whatever works for them. I'm sure they would do better ratings if Brian Kenny wasn't on the air, but that just kind of happens. I don't know. We shall see, right? But I know we didn't get to it. I'll have to try to remember tomorrow. Did you see that the Mickey Mouse Network came with 200 or 300 people?
They fired 200 or 300 people?
Yep. They let go another batch. I don't know if it was 200 or 300. So, but I'm sure that NBA contract is coming back to haunt them. So, maybe we can look into that a little more for tomorrow or something. But the music means that you and I are going to run out of here. Now, we're back tomorrow for a show. But while we're gone, we're going to get back. First time in the year, we're going to be down here to the new blog. Because while you're there, the link takes you over to the page. Just come on by there and give them a like. Don't forget to see if you go there. Talk to the first time radio. You can also come and join me on Facebook if you'd like to look at that. What's your list? As always, if you stop by and listen to this live, but not to do it, I'd really appreciate it. If you did see something I want to call up with, you can do it right over to tuneinclub.com and you can do it anytime you want.